Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Monday morning. 251-343-0106. You want to be in touch with the show, we'll get to your text. Still got a bunch to get to there. So appreciate the feedback. Still to come on the program about an hour from now from WVNN, Yellowhammer News, Dale Jackson. And then in the 11 o'clock hour, my colleague at Breitbart News, Bradley J, will talk about the weird Capitol Hill discussions about drug boats and fentanyl and what to make of that. Joining us now, he is one of our Monday regulars. Always appreciate his time. State Representative Shane Stringer is with us. Representative, good morning. How are you?
Doing great, Jeff. Thank you for having me on.
Hey, thanks for coming on. One thing we need to get to real quick, and you brought it up. We were talking a little bit about it during the break. You got a new boat ramp up in Mount Vernon, and you'll have to walk me through it and talk about the benefits here for your constituents.
Yeah, the original boat ramp had a lot of issues in the way it was designed, and really stayed full of silt and dirt, and never had a chance to really use it. And so we got the funds, and we finally got the new boat ramp built using Go Mesa money, and basically opened up another access to the Delta for our hunters and our outdoorsmen up in Mount Vernon.
Yeah, and so it's just a way to get places that aren't maybe accessible by land, I guess.
Yeah, a lot of people hunt the Delta and the swamp up in North Mobile, South Washington, North Baldwin counties, and a lot of the access to those areas is only through boat, and it allows these outdoorsmen to get up there and hunt in these remote areas of our county, and probably some of the most prime hunting land and just very beautiful land that we're dealing with up there, and people are able to get in there and enjoy it.
Right. So talk about this, the state's role in making that possible.
Yeah, we've got, we've got a lot of improvements coming to a lot of boat ramps and areas in Baldwin County and South Baldwin, South Mobile. And this was able to help. We, got the boat ramp in Mount Vernon completely redesigned and rebuilt, and we repaved the parking lot and did some repairs to the McIntosh boat landing up in South Washington County, which has helped, give all the boaters and outdoorsmen from West Mobile, North Mobile, Washington counties and surrounding areas access to launch their boat without having to go all the way to either Creola or even into Baldwin County.
Well, certainly those developments are important to our listeners, so we're glad you can bring them to our attention. I guess this representative is kind of on my mind. The election cycle, and we're obviously like laser focused on the top of the ticket, but you talk to your down ballot, you guys who are running for reelection, talk to some of your colleagues. And, it's not that, we're ever going to have a big Democrat wave in this state or anything. But what do you think? Doesn't seem like an anti-incumbent sentiment out there, but there are some of your colleagues I've talked to, they are looking over their shoulder a little bit. What's the mood?
Yeah, it's a little bit different than I've seen it in the past, but pretty much everybody is, just doing what they do, which is campaigning and getting out to the community, meeting with constituents, and just making sure they're available to their communities and able to listen to their needs and hopefully address some of their needs in Montgomery.
Well, and you always hear education. And that's supposedly the thing that we all are supposed to be it always gets priority. Whenever you talk to some of these guys running, that's what they bring up. Tell me this, I don't know. There's no maybe in some ways the lottery and funding, but there's no numeracy act or there's no Choose Act controversy once we get past the AHSAA stuff and things like that. What are the big ticket items there?
I'm not hearing a lot of issues now. Here in my district, of course, it's infrastructure with all the industry that we have up on 43 has brought a lot of traffic and stuff in that area and congestion, and dealing with that, Baldwin County's growing a lot, and we're getting a lot of congestion in those areas, and looking at that. So, of course, you know, education, infrastructure, and, you know, just dealing with taxes in general and different aspects, you know, getting, that's a topic that's being brought up from time to time. But, you know, we're listening out. I'm not hearing a lot. And, of course, that's not quite uncommon being an election year. It's normally not as chaotic or as much going on an election year. But who knows? Things can go crazy in Montgomery sometimes.
I'll tell you, you bring up infrastructure, and this is like a constant gripe of mine, and I'm probably a guy who travels 65 a lot. You do. I know you do. You go up and down the state all the time. It always sort of shocks me when you see the backups and you're driving along and either you're stuck in gridlock or you look on the other side of the interstate and it's backed up and you know, just the how the highways are being robbed of capacity with the truck traffic, which I assume has a lot to do with the growth of the port and things like that. There's something that's got to be done here. And the problem I have, and this is probably your same gripe with 45, it's just there's no discussion about it in the Ivy administration. She scoffs at it. And I don't know if what Tuberville, what that looks like. I mean, we'll have to wait and see. About a year from now, we'll start hearing a little more about that. But, you know, 65 is – we are lagging behind other states with what I would call Main Street Alabama. And just there doesn't seem to be any urgency there.
Yeah, I think you're going to see a lot of new ideas and a lot of new projects coming around with a new governor, new administration, new lieutenant governor, and everybody in place. But I think that they're already looking at some of that stuff. I know Tuberville has spoken about it in a couple of times that I've been in meetings with him. And so I think there's some good things coming in that aspect. And it never hurts to get fresh eyes to look at some of these projects and look at some stuff. But we have got to, you know, we've got to step up and address some of these roads, you know, like Highway 45, the 158 from Saraland over to Loosedale, Mississippi, needs to be four lane. We've got a lot of work to do in Alabama, and I think that you know, they've been playing catch up over the last 4 or 5 years dealing with the gas tax increase, and slowly but surely getting some roads resurfaced, bridges replaced, and some of that, and I think we're going to see some good things coming in the next, I'd say next 4 to 8 years.
What is the long-term outlook on 158 and getting that four lanes from where it splits with 98 to where it goes from 2 to 4 lanes there, I guess, near Lot Road?
Not a lot of conversations. I did meet with Aldott again about 3 weeks ago and had some good conversations about Highway 45 and 158. You know, I'm not sure, you know, who else, what other legislators or who else is talking to their leadership about 158. But yeah, they're it's on their radar and it's got to be done. The good thing that we've got with 158, a lot of the land's already acquired, or all of the land's already acquired. A lot of, infrastructure part of it's already done, you know, so it's not going to be as of an expensive project whenever they decide to do it, to start four-laning. And then, you know, I'm sure the state does it to a degree, but, you know, I keep bringing up to them time and time again that we should look at, like, the pay-as-you-go programs in Mobile County and maybe other parts of the state. We don't have to do the whole 158 at one whop. You know, let's go in there and maybe finish up another 5 miles and then plan another 5 right behind that, or 10, whatever we can afford, until we get that knocked out. And if we take that approach, it's feasible, it's doable, and it will start inching our way toward the goal that we need.
Well, and we don't really know a dollar amount on that project, right? Like, this is my problem with a lot of these things, these high-profile things in Alabama. We have some idea about the I-10 bridge, how much that would cost. But these things that we talk about on a regular basis, we don't know how much. It doesn't seem like, in the grand scheme of things, getting 158 four-lane to where it narrows down to two lanes from one end to the other would be that expensive, that heavy of a lift.
No, I wouldn't think so. And on top of that, you know, we had the money there to do it in total at the very beginning. And then they had the lawsuit that held up the project for probably close to 10 years. And, you know, the prices of things changed throughout that and just a lot slowed it down and stopped it. But the good thing is we've already got the land. We've already got a lot of the work done. Most of the bridges are done. So it's definitely doable. And I think we can potentially get that on our project list or agenda in the next 2 or 3 years and get that in the right direction.
Yeah. Just the cost of these things though. And I hope this changes, but we talk about 45. Well, it's too expensive. Well, I mean, what is too expensive? And it's never been clear to me about these things that are dismissed as impossibilities, that we just can't do it right now. And what are we doing? We're repaving a lot of roads, which is fine, I guess. I don't know. We're putting new asphalt on old asphalt. Seems to be the imperative here for this ALDOT. And we're not talking about new roads and new bridges anywhere.
Yeah, we've got to step up our game and looking at some of that. And I think we will. I think there's a lot of good things coming in our infrastructure. I did talk to ALDOT about, you know, little things that we can do to help inch our way toward the four-laning project, which is adding more passing lanes or extending the passing lanes that we already have. And that's something that they said they would look at and check out. So we've got, you know, we've just got to keep bringing the needs of our communities and our districts to Montgomery and to the appropriate people and asking for the assistance and asking them to address these issues. And I think that we're going to see some of that with 45 and I think eventually even with 158.
Well, the other big outlying thing, I guess, and I heard this, and you could talk about it, maybe you can't, but so the Elmore County Prison eventually will be done, and they'll be moving on Escambia County. But what I've heard, this construction management thing, and it was, objectively, it was a failure. The price of these things went up double. Either you guys, the legislature, in that special session a few years ago, were lowballed. I know the costs went up on everything, but come on. I mean, we didn't have that. We didn't have 100% inflation. It nearly, the price of the prison in Elmore County nearly doubled. So there's something strange about that. But then you hear, hey, we're going to try this or something similar to what we did there for this Escambia County prison. And that makes... That sends off red flags for me. Do you know anything about this stuff?
No, I've not really been involved in any of the meetings or kept up with the prison projects or whatever, other than just hearing in budget meetings and stuff like that. And, you know, I've got the same opinion that you do and a lot of people do and a lot of the other legislators do. And that's just that, you know, that we've all seen it in every aspect of the state where projects of building a home and everything else has gone up. But just as you said, it has not gone up 100%. So, you know, either somebody's made some bad calculations and designing and coming up with the original cost, or either something ain't right there. So, and a lot of the legislators are asking questions and asking the same questions. You know, everybody wants answers to what is going on here and what, you know, what reasons do we have that they've gone up that much.
But you haven't really gotten a clear answer, or at least I don't know. Like, it just, when they do have these budget meetings and they do talk about it, they'll give you the same lines, and that seems to be good enough for those around. But if we're going to do the same thing again, hopefully we don't. But we need to get back to the old. I mean, I believe this. This is Jeff Poore talking. You put the project out for bids, and you find qualified bidders. You put the project out for bids, and you construct a timeline, and you just do it the old-fashioned way. It worked for a century or better. We don't want to do it that way anymore. And I don't even know that the reason they say they do it that way. Well, it's more like time efficient or whatever. I don't even see that. I don't even see where it's saving the state the time. It just seems like we're just doing it this way because, you know, whatever contractor tells us that's the preferred way.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know a lot of questions have been asked in a lot of the meetings that we've had dealing with prisons. I mean, going as far back to when we were looking at the PPEs, the private partnerships, and letting them build a prison for us to rent, and you know, we were going to be paying more for that than we could just build it ourselves. And so there's, you know, it just, there's got to be cheaper, better ways to do it. We as the legislature and the government has got to be good stewards of our taxpayers' money. And we've got to make sure that we're being wise and prudent with these, any projects that we have, but especially these prison projects that we're dealing with now.
Representative, we got to leave it there, but thanks for hopping on this morning. We'll do it again in a couple of weeks.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me on.
State Representative Shane Stringer there. We got to get a timeout in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Just what I had.